Well, I'll tell you a little about myself. I've got a tract I've given to some. I've written a book years ago, Dr. Jack Hiles' daughter, Cindy, and it's from the coal mines of the gold mines, and it's on my website, and yet you can print it down free. It's free. That's why I put it on the website if you want it. And it's see me, and I'll put some up here, and I'll be telling it at my website. It's www.dra, that's Dr. Russell Anderson, UCM's Uneducated Coal Miner. That's my website. And I'm here to tell you what Jesus did, not what I did. If I start telling you all the things God did, you accuse me of bragging. They say, why do you travel the way you do? Some of my I live in Hawaii in the winter. When the snow, I made enough money up and that, and after I left Kentucky, I'm getting way ahead of myself. But I was born now. I'm going to tell you a little bit of my testimony so that you can see what God did. There's seven of us in a one-bedroom house in the hills of Kentucky. One bedroom. No electricity and no running water. It did run offside the mountain. We ran out and got it in a bucket. And then I was raised up. My dad and mother never took me to Sunday school or church. And I grew up in the filth and dirty of the hills of Kentucky where they're shooting and killing and drinking. I didn't know anything else to do. I thought, well, if my good works outweigh my bad works, I'll go to heaven. I believe that heaven picked it up. My neighbor they went to Old Regular Baptist where they washed feet and stuff. And so I grew up in that atmosphere, and then I started working in the coal mines when I was a day out of high school, working, farming, cutting timber, sawmill. I worked hard all my life. And then in 1955, I left the coal mines and went to Michigan, and that's where I heard the gospel. When I was 28 years, I got saved. Dr. John R. Rice, Dr. Jack Hiles, I heard them 6 weeks after I got saved. And so then I began to follow them, and I got in the Bible, started studying the Bible. It's amazing what God did, and I got in a drywall sheet. How many know what sheetrock is? Drywall. I learned how to tape that. That's my trade right now. And so, and then I got in the drywall bench, then I got saved, and God just took over the business. It's amazing what he did, but I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I'm letting you see what God did. And of course, when I give my testimony, a lot of times I've got to make sure, try to get that across. Some people says I'm bragging. I am. I'm bragging on Jesus. I'm doing what God told me to do, and Psalm 44:8, in God we boast all the day long, praise his name forever. And so, and then to beat it all this morning, this is my sermon book for this morning. What I was going to preach in, let me see if I can figure another one here. I left my Sunday school lesson in another book like this. And so I've still got my head on, I think. And so I want you to turn to some. But what I love to do, why do I travel? Some of my meetings, I've gone many, many weeks a year. When I live in Hawaii, I travel. It's 9 hours flight from Honolulu to Atlanta, Georgia. And then I go from there, about some of it is 15, 17 hours where I get to where I want to speak. And then I speak 3 to 4 times, Monday morning, Tuesday morning. I get right back on, fly back. Why do you do that? And so I said, I want the people to know that I love Jesus more than I love money. And I live very, very economically. And so in Psalm 63:1, oh God, thou art my God. I'll wait till you turn it to, I got it memorized. I'm not going to try to impress you. I usually quote this every morning when I get up, first thing I do. And so that's Samuel. I'll get over to Psalms since I've mentioned. I may make a mistake. Oh, here it is. Oh, yeah. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer from the end of the earth. That's 61. Let's try Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And I say, to see thy power and thy glory, that I saw of thee in the sanctuary. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. I go. This is what I say every morning when I go to the office, look up. Then I used to say, now God, this is another day, and if I depend upon myself, I'm going to fail. So I need you to guide and lead me today. And so into, and tell me what to do. Another psalm says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know wherein I should walk. Lord, I lift up my soul to thee. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Now, this is it. I want to get with God every morning. Now, when we go to work, and I got it here. What do you want to, how much, you young people normally, how much do you like to make someday? I started out 5 cents a day, worked for $2 a day, and in Hills Cutting Timber, sawmills. And then I made $8.7 million one day. I've got a picture, a copy of the check right here. I gave it, when I sold 302 apartments, I had no investment. That's a long story. I'm telling you what that you get if you rise and get God on your side in the morning. With God, you and God make a majority. What do you want to make? So I've got a copy of the check, and so I want to meet with God. And so the amazing thing about it is, before God uses us, he puts us through testings. God has no favorites. That means God loves you. God loves you as much as he does the pastor. Anything God's ever done through anyone's life, he can still do it through our life if we'll pay the cost. The trouble is, most Christians, they made a mistake this morning. Not only this morning, but you won't give God a chance to prove himself. Now, you are in a good position because a lot of Christians that should be here this morning, they're not. There's a lot of, 90-some percent of the Christians that today, I would say high 90%, started the day off wrong. You start the day off wrong. You don't ask God to take control of your life. You don't ask God to give you wisdom and knowledge and direction. But anyway, when I get saved, now I used to work for 5 cents a day. Now, today, back, if you was a young guy, I guess they pay, let's say we make $20 a day, say $100 a day. Now, here's a picture check. And so I want to tell you how I made $201,000 from July the 2nd last year to August the 2nd. I'm going to tell you some trials that I had to go through to do it. Now, when I got saved and I was in the drywall business, I got saved September 13th, 1959. And a few weeks later, just a few days later, I heard Dr. Jack Hiles, Dr. John Arise, Tom Malone's church in Pontiac, Michigan. And they became my mentors and Dr. Malone. And so I began to do what they said, and I was rising early in the morning studying the Bible. I've been saved about 9 months. I was worth probably, in today's term, it would be $100,000, $150,000. Back then, I was worth about $30,000. Now listen, I was going to church. Never missed church. A young Christian. Sunday school, church, then Sunday night and Wednesday night. I was studying the Scripture. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. I began to study the Bible. Now, I was going to church. Listen to this. Living a separated life. Our church was so separated. When I got saved, they said, don't buy your groceries in a store that sells beer and whiskey. Try that today. That's how separated we were. So I was separated. I quit the movies. I haven't seen a movie since I got saved. I was living the best life I could. I was tithing the first Sunday that I went to church after I was saved. I made $150. I get $15, 10%. Living the best life I could, and then in 9 months, a builder that I was working for went broke and broke me. I owed $2,000 material bill, and here I was broke $2,000. What would you do? Now you got jobs. Not suppose you woke up in the morning, you're broke. I had a house payment, a car payment, truck payment. I'd just gotten married. I had a wife payment. In this old age, that two can live cheap as one, that's not true. And so I proved it. So I was living the best life I could. I'd done that. And here I was broke. You know what the old devil said to me? Hey, you had more fun with me than you had with this Jesus. Jesus is not for you. This church is not for you. Why don't you come back and serve me? Now, the old devil said, see, and on Luke chapter 4, he offered Jesus the world if he'd bow down and serve. And Jesus and the old devil is going to offer it to you too. Let me tell you something right now, young people, everyone in here, you and I are no match for the devil. Adam and Eve tried it. Where did it get them? Huh? So if they could get Adam and Eve to sin, don't you think the devil could control and influence you? What's a victory? It's staying close to God. God's promises. And so here I was broke. I said, well, and I'd drive up the town that I live in now, and it's near Ann Arbor, Michigan, about 5 miles from there. And the old devil would say, hey, you remember not using that borrower? You know what happened? He'd remind me of the sins that I had committed years ago. Won't you come back and serve me? So I had to get this settled, and I said, old devil, you go back to hell where you belong. I'm going to serve Jesus. And I kept going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There's a lot of weeks I could not take a salary, but I took the $2,000 I owed the material bill. It was in the bank. I went and got it. I afraid they'd attach that. I wouldn't have any men to pay my men. Just had two or three men. I started out on that. I said, I'm going to continue to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'm going to continue to tithe. There's a lot of, when I listen to this, there's a lot of weeks I could not take a check, but always got God $15. Now, today I gave him $150,000 easier than I gave him $15 then. But see, I was proving God. Now, if you came to work for me as an employee, all of you, I'm not going to put you a foreman the first week or two or three a month. I want you to work for me long enough to where that you watch me and study me, and you know I'd rather give you $10, just take one nickel that don't belong to me. I want you to know my belief is this: when I'm building a house or putting drywall, you deserve the best work there is. Because if I do you a good job, then you tell him. That's the way you build a business, you see. And so by studying scripture and then treating people right. But here was, I kept going to church, and God began to bless that little three men, went to 5 to 7 to 9 to 10 to 12, 15. I became the largest drywall subcontractor in my county. And when he did that, now let me tell you how to get blessings of God upon your life, is I went from 10% to 12% to 14% to 15 to 17, 18. And the Bible says, he that soweth bountifully shall reap what? Bountifully. So more he let me make, the more I gave to him. And so first thing you know, I had 20, 30 men going. And I went up to 30% and 19 and 59 are saved. 19 and 70, I was given 30%. And then 19 and 70, I decided I was going to give God 50%. I have not given God 50% since 19 and 70. In 1999, I gave him $30,000 a day. It's in my book, I think, from coal mines to gold mines I told you about. I'm just telling you what God did. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. Now, I started this by saying, if you all work for me, I want you to work for me long enough, I'm going to prove you before that I make you foreman and give you a phone, an expense account. I want you to know you're going to treat my people right. I'm going to tell you, you let the people in, you let them have a coffee break. Don't let them go to sleep, though. If you do, I'll fire you, but give them a coffee break. Don't mistreat my laborers. Someday you and I may be working for them. And I want you to know how I think. And I ended up with 457 houses and apartments, 50 houses paid for in 99, and all it paid for in 99. And so the girls, when you moved out of one of my apartments, they make a checklist of anything you damaged. And I said, now you figure out how much you deposit, but I'd rather you give them $10 and me take $1 of their money. In doubt, always give it to that, to give it to the working man. I want to have, and I've got a good reputation there yet. And so that's, so I want you to know all about me. I want to treat people right. And so I ended up with 1999, I said, before, and then I got on my knees and I said, dear God, and I'm way off my schedule, but good God, you've showed the world. I begged you all my life in 1999. See, I got saved in 59, that'd be 40 years. Yeah, it's close enough, isn't it? 40 years. I said, all my life, I begged you to show the world what you could do through an uneducated coal miner. Now you've done it. Now, God, I'm going to give it all back to you. You have it all back. Now I want you to show the world what you can do through an old man. That's what I do. I'm out now. See, I'll soon be 87 years old. And I'm still yet going because I want God to get God. I tell God all the time, I say, God, you use Caleb, he's 85, and I said, what has he done for you that I don't do? I said, if these young preachers, like this preacher over here, young man, he preaches a good, they expect a good sermon from him, but I said, they don't expect from an old man, so you let me tell what he tells, you'll get more credit as an old man than you will him. I'm begging God all the time to give me at least 3 more years, please pray for me until he'll be 90, with a right to ask for another extension. I've been asking for extensions all my life. When I was 28, I said, God, forgive me of my sins. Save me for 28 years. I've committed and practiced every sin there is. In the next 28 years, I want to serve you. Now, 28 and 28, 56. When I got 57, I said, God, let's renegotiate that contract. I said, give me another 28 years. Now, that was up a couple of years ago, 84. Now, God, please let me live be 90 with the right to ask for another extension. See, God's done so much through me. I gave you that. How I made $8.7 million one day. I had 302 apartments. And when I quit building those apartments, I had $350,000 of money, bank's money left over. And I sent it down. That's when Dr. Jack Hiles, by the way, in this town, Albuquerque, New Mexico, it's where Dr. Hiles and I, we walked and talked one day around a shopping center complex up here and talked about starting Hiles Anderson College. And so that's where it started. And so when I built the theorem, I had $350,000 left over. See the bank? I go to the bank, you be the banker. Here's I'm going to build, how much you owe me? You tell me, okay, I'll take it. When I got through in a building of 302, I built them in three, four stages. I had $350,000 left over. You know what I did with it? I sent down Dr. Hiles. He bought the land at Sherrville, started Hiles Anderson College. The bank's money. Now, I paid the bank back. I never was late on one of my payments. I paid them back. But I sent that $350,000 down and paid off. That was money that they get loaned me too much to build my apartments. Then this man offered me $8.7 million for 302 of my apartments, and I took it. We closed it. I said, I put this. A lot of people got land or you got anything that's appreciating property. If you sell it and make money, you pay taxes, right? If you make money on something, I tell you, I had to get around that. I called Dr. Hiles. I said, I'm going to sign this over to Hiles Anderson College or the First Baptist Hiles Anderson. And I said, at closing, then if you're going to give me $8.7 million, I signed them over to First Baptist Church and Ray Bordway, they owned them about 30 seconds, 302 apartments. They owned them about 3 seconds, and Ray Bordway signed it and handed the deed to you, handed him 8 points. So I never even took a Coca-Cola out of $8.7 million. I gave it all to Jesus. Now, you can't take your money with you, but you can send it on in front of you.
Yeah.
Right now, I can hardly, I'm getting puffed up. I apologize. But see, that's how, by you're doing. Now, here, so I tell you what the secret was. What did you do when you go broke? You just 9 months, huh? I've always have, and I'm going to teach you something. What time I quit? 10:30? Huh? Uh-oh. Give me, my watch is wrong. Give me your gun. I'm going to shoot it. You hold your hand up and wave at me.
Okay.
Boy, where is that? I tell you, in my office right now, always, what were you going to do the morning after you found out you'd broke? I've always had a room on my office doors right now. I got rid of my big house on the golf course, gave it all to Jesus, called my 3 daughters, said, you want your inheritance, you better go see Jesus. I gave it all to him. And then I moved into a condo on Ford Lake. Henry Ford built the lake. But the day I went broke, I had a 3-bedroom ranch, been out basement. I had a room down there where I met with God. My wife, I was up 2 hours before she was, all the time. I don't want to talk to anybody more until I've talked to God. The mistake most Christians make, they don't ask God to take control of their life. They get up in the morning, go to work, do their chores, and they never ask God to guide and lead them. They never get God on side. I've always had a God's room. And on this, here's a copy of the $201,000 church. There's double doors on my, where I go into that one bedroom. I made it in an office. And on the double door, it says this, God's room, where I meet God 2 to 6 hours a day. One day a week, 6 hours. I spent there studying the Bible, praying and asking God, praying about missionaries and things to do. And then I said, in this room here, it's where I get wisdom from God to make millions. I made approximately $100 million. And I said, Lord, I don't need to make any more money for myself. Wouldn't that be nice if you could say, wake up more and say, Lord, I don't need any more money myself. I just want to make some money for Jesus. That's what I said. I don't need to make any money myself. Therefore, let me make money to give to your work, spreading the gospel. Now, a few months before this, I was praying God for what money that's left in a charitable remainder unit trust, and that's another thing, the money you give, you can start one. It's too much. I don't have time to explain it to you. And so I have money invested. I've got a lot of money right now invested. I'm paying 8.5. BPL, you might look into that. I'm making 7.5% there, making some 10%, 8%. It's utility stocks. I'm asking God to visit where to put it. I'm going to make some money for him. And so that, now, in this here, in July the 2nd, 2016, I made one sale, $38,000. I don't have the exact date. And then I sold some more, made $93,000. I sold some more, $18,000. I sold another date, made $19,000, another $13,000. That's $201,000. Now, once that I made the $201,000, I said I want to send it to Mexico. I got a church there. I have $15,000. I built a college. Kevin went to college and a church over there. And so Dr. Bob Gray was speaking there a few weeks ago. April, He said, Russ, brother, he called me. He said, I think I'm going to, he put it in writing, a letter. I got the letter. I think I'm going to join this church. They had 15,000 here on Sunday morning, had to fill the building twice. He had 9,000 Sunday night and 7,000, I think it was, Thursday night. Baptized 900 and some that week. Said they don't have a baptistry, they have a swim pool. We got six or eight people baptizing all the time. Just one church. So I said, I won't send him some more money. By the way, I'll send him, let's see, 30, 60, 75,000 more this week. Here's a check made out. See, I made the 201,000, and here's a check made out, Liberty Baptist Church. I don't want you to see that. See it, Liberty Baptist Church, Mexico. So once you make God a promise, don't go back on it. You make a covenant with God, you promise him going to do it, and then God does his part, and you don't do your part. Boy, you ever had your wife mad at you? That's nothing compared to what God's going to do. You violate. What do you do to Ananias and Sapphira for lying to him? What do you do for Achan for stealing something? Huh? You know, God believes in capital punishment. Ask Korah when you see him in heaven. God believes in heaven. So I gave it to God, you see. But the thing about it is, the reason why this happened when I went broken up, I've always had a God's room where I spent two. And then I moved to the big house on the golf course. I built this. It's the nicest home in my town there at one time when I built it. Back, I think we moved in 64. But I had an office. I always met with God. I got a letter from one of my daughters. She runs a big business in Dallas, Texas. She had 30-some people work for her. And she said about it. She said, I told them in the office today, Dad, I don't ever remember getting up in the morning to go to school, but your light was on your office. We know you're in there praying. By the time they get up, I take off to the office. And that's pretty good inheritance to leave your children, isn't it? And one, I got a letter here. I had it going to read in that. She also wrote me a letter and Father's Day. Boy, I'd like to, maybe I'll read it to you tonight. It's in my other book there. She said, Dad, thank you for teaching us work. See, when my children were 14, 15 years old, my wife packed them a lunch. They had to go to my apartments to work all day long. In that hot sun in the lawn and that. A blonde, they come in looking like a beet. And then I said, you taught us to work hard. And we didn't know anything about entitlements and anything. You taught us to work it out. And she praised me because I taught her to work. And personally, let me say it. You give a child a college education, don't teach it work, you're a loser. Ladies, you ought to give your children, your daughters, responsibility in your kid. They'll start making up their beds when they're 8 and 9. You ought to teach them responsibilities. Teach them to work. Don't hand it to them. I told my girls when they went to college, don't you go down and marry some mama's boy that gave that boy money all of his life and in the car and gave him an easy living. He get married and he'll marry you, and then he get two or three children, and then you have to come home and let me raise them. I don't want that. Get a man, a working man. He's got a callus on you. And they thank me for that. And I should read the rest of the letter. And by the way, she's making way over $100,000 a year. I taught her to work. She's trained to do God's work. She married a preacher. And she's a pastor. She teaches Sunday school today. Hispanics. She says they're wanting to learn a lot more than Americans are. Hispanics are. And she tells me about her Sunday school. But you need to have a room in your house. Now, let me teach you first. What, you got 3 minutes? Huh?
Take 5 minutes.
Okay, you need to have a room in your house. Let me tell you, a God's room. They need what your children needs to see. And I'm going to tell you how to raise your children. Everything I teach you or preach you, I've tried it and proved it. You have a God's room. If you have a God's room, and so now they need to see time when Dad and Mom are all together. Mom, Dad and Mom say, now, children, we need to pray down some money from God. We got some bills coming in. We need to pray down some money. Dad and Mom's going to go into God's room and pray. Then when they see you do that and see God answer it, then they come in sometime with a problem. You take that child, let's go in God's room, and I turn it over to God. You shut the door. And sometimes when a child misbehaves, I don't like the way I see in your face. I don't write your rebellion. You're disobeying your mother. You're disobeying me. Now you go in God's room and get right. And when you come out, we better see it written all over your face, or we are going to really give you a good one. You have to be careful today, but I know what the silly professors are. God believed, he said, spare the rod and spoil the child. Of course, these ignorant professors, you know. Once I was a tadpole in the beginning of the beginning, I became a professor with a PhD. Then I became, once I was a tadpole in the beginning, and then I became a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I became a professor of a coconut tree. Then I became a PhD, a professor with a PhD. I'll get right in a minute here. So they, you know, if you put a stripe on, put a stripe. But the God says, put a stripe, saves your soul from hell. But if you have a God's room, and I'm getting back to this God, why I survived, I had a place to meet with God. You're unwise tomorrow morning if you don't set that alarm clock and get up and say, and even wise, if you get up first, you go to a room and say, God, you don't take too long to get with God. Say that, I've got to fix my husband's breakfast, and the children, and get them off to school, and got to wash and this. God, I need your wisdom today. God, protect my husband today at work, and give him wisdom and knowledge to satisfy his foreman. And give him wisdom to where that, now listen, he can satisfy his boss so much they make him foreman. Make him superintendent. Wouldn't hurt your feelings if he come in and said, honey, I got a $10,000 raise. I got a superintendent's job. See, you turn the day over. Then the husband, he gets up first, he ought to go to the window and look up to God and say, God, when I go to work today, I'm working my wife. She's taking care of the kids, and she's cooking, and we're going to wash the clothes and that. And God, give her wisdom and all. Pray, get meet with God. To be successful with man, you first got to meet with God. David said, oh God, thou art my God. Early I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. That's what I do. See, I don't even speak to my dogs. I don't do anything till I get to God. Did it this morning. And so, well, yesterday I was introduced to pastors. Boy, Josh, he had one named Josh. I said, Joshua, I said about you this morning, every morning. It said Joshua 6:14. Joshua fell on his face to the ground and worshiped God. Then while he's down there, after he worshiped God, he said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Now, why don't we say that in the morning? Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I tell you, I start your day over. You know anybody else now has made over $100 million to give Jesus 40? Now, Uncle Sam, by the way, I got about 30 of that million. I didn't stick all that in my pocket. And so I pay my way where I go today and I go around. I gladly do it. But the whole thing, what we need is a place to meet with God in the morning. See, the old devil doesn't bother you much at night. So you need God in the morning. He needs you to protect him. Ask God to protect you from the devil and his temptations. And I'll tell you, a lot of the day, both husband and wife work. You better not quit courting one another. It's a dangerous thing when a man's wife works around men all day long without her husband. She gets more attached than that. And vice versa. The old devil has a lot more room. So that's why you need to stay sweethearts. That's why I took my wife out, 7 businesses, all that. I'd have a babysitter come in when I was young. We'd have a date 1 night a week. Got it from Dr. Howells. See, when I got saved, I started studying after great men. I better shut up. Our Father, thank thee, dear God, for having me this morning. Sorry I left my Sunday school lesson at home. Now, God, please speak to hearts today. May we have husbands and wives that pray for one another and keep dating one another after they get married. May the children see that and they want a marriage like that. Have a husband and wife and children get up in the morning and meet with God first. Thank thee, God, for this work, the pastor. Pray your blessings upon it now. Amen.